Good morning, all, and I hope your day is starting off great. And today we are going to look at seal number seven, preparation for the trumpet judgments in Revelation 8. Today we'll cover verses 1 through 6. So let's start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, come to you today, Lord, to reach into your word, Lord, and to get some new meaning to help us to understand not only you, but what those on earth will be faced in the tribulation. And that we do pray for their salvation in the future, that maybe this video may help someone that is either trying to decide now how they feel about you, or that they, and it can also be used later after the rapture for those that may be seeking you at that, during that time frame. Oh Lord, I praise you and I thank you and I give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You know, I do this mainly because I really do believe that times are going to get are getting close, and that we may not know the day or the hour, but we are allowed to know the season. And I tell you, I have never seen so many people, fellow believers like you and I, that can see that things just seem to be coming so quickly. Now, of course, you know, there's no way we can decide if it's going to be today, tomorrow, next year, or 5 years. But I don't think it can be a real long time, based on what I'm seeing in the world. Could be wrong. I'm sure there's been people through history that questioned whether or not they were, it was really close. And I think of things like World War II, you know. Boy, that was a rough time, you know, with Hitler and all those people. Probably a lot of people then thought, oh, this is going to be the end. It can never get worse than this. Well, one big difference is that Israel is back in the land now. And they've been there for over 70 years. So we got to be getting fairly close. And that is one of the signs of the tribulation, that Israel will be regathered in the land. And we can see that out with our eyes. That's something that you know, 80 years ago, 90 years ago, people couldn't see that. So it's one definite sign, and there's definitely other ones I'll approach as we go through this study. So back to our paintings. We're now up to where the Jesus' left-handed thumb is there on the scroll, basically the seventh seal. So we're gonna look at that today. It's actually an introduction or a prelude to the next set of judgments, the trumpet judgments. So let's take a look at our structure again. And so you can see that we got the we're in the seal scrolls right now. We just passed that little pause point, that little red and gray square, and we're in the seventh judgment. Which we notice with the hippocratic structure, as soon as you hit the seventh of any one of them, you go to the next level. And then the next level would be trumpet judgments. And then we get that pause again, and right inside in chapter 10 to 14. And then on starting in chapter 15, we'll start the bowl judgments. And there'll be a one-verse pause in chapter 15, verse 16. And that'll be pretty much the end once we get to the eighth, to the seventh bowl. There ain't going to be many people left by that time. So let's take a look at chapter 8 here. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for a half an hour. There was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. kind of an interesting statement, and I thought we'd just try to find a few places where we see silence and see if we can kind of gather why there's this half an hour of silence. And I have my thoughts I'll share after we go through these verses, but the first one is in Job chapter 4, 16 and 17. I stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, this is some sort of angelic being that Job saw during his ordeal. And the angel said, "Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker?" Good points. Then over in Psalms 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Kind of an interesting psalm. Over to Habakkuk 2:20, we got this verse. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. That sounds a little bit like what we're talking about here. Habakkuk, because that's all the way back in the Old Testament. And over in Zechariah 2:13, we got, be silent, all flesh before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Yeah, I think I need to turn down his volume just a tad. I want to blast you guys out. My view mirror was going into the red. So now Revelation 8:2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before. Oh, I was going to tell you what I thought. I'm thinking that if you look at Revelation 8:1, that it was quiet because God was sitting up there contemplating. He's entering into a period of time that he really dislikes, and that he's solemn, and everybody could kind of feel it and sense it, and they're just quiet, waiting for him to decide what the next step is. That's my take on it. Okay, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So I thought here we'd take a look at trumpets. As a trumpets typically in the Bible are used to either announce something or to gather people together. And so I think trumpets in this case have both those meanings. They're a warning from God. You remember when we did the rapture portion in chapter 4:1, there was a trumpet sound, and that was a gathering of us Christians to go to heaven in the rapture. A similar thing happens when they blow trumpets all the way through the Bible. I thought I'd pick out a couple. First one I found was in Numbers 10. In verse 1, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that they mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. Really, Moses was leading about, some estimates are around 1 million people, at least. Verse 3, and when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble to themselves, to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes which are heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. This is like an order of procession. If you've ever been in the military, they do that quite a bit, that they have commands that are usually announced sometimes by a bugler, that to get our attention, not only, but also to realize that a command is coming. Verse 6, When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. So it's like different flanks coming out and leading the procession. And Moses here, by the sound of the trumpet, can tell people which order to go in. Verse 7. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. That's just a regular gathering, maybe just to have some announcements. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. So this is something that Jewish people know very well, going down through history, even up to today. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that opposes you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. And seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram horns before the ark of... that was the end of Numbers. Now I'm in Joshua. And this is a time when trumpets, or a type of trumpet, it was a ram's horn, was used to during that conflict. And I think it's very reminiscent of what we see in here in Revelation. And Joshua is getting ready to bring wrath on Jericho, and that he's using trumpets to rally the people. And seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compressed the city once and returned into the camp, so they did 6 days. If you remember the story of Jericho, you know that they marched around the camp 6 days, once per day. And on the seventh day, this is the seventh day here, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and compressed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only in that day they compressed the city 7 times. And it came to pass the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And if you remember the story, the walls come tumbling down. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messenger that we sent. Fantastic story. And if you really follow it, it's interesting that Rahab helped the city and was and survived it. And she ended up becoming in the actual genealogy of Jesus Christ through her through his mother. So very interesting prelude to the to Jesus coming. And let me see. So that's basically to the trumpet. This whole series of seven trumpets, I think, in a way, is God doing two things. One, he's gathering people together to realize that who he is, and that he's trying to get the Jewish people to realize who their Messiah was, which is Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose of the tribulation anyways. And so with the trumpet, he's gathering in one way, but he's also passing judgment in another way. So he's sending forth judgments on them. And we're going to see those judgments in hopes to convince them of who he is and who their Messiah is. So on to Revelation 8:3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. I had to find me a little something to kind of show this. So I found a cute little picture that kind of represents what we're seeing here. Got an angel, and you notice they're holding a censer, and he's going to be taking some incense, some out of the, that's the incense burner that's before the, in the temple scenes you've seen probably many times. I think I got a I don't have it right here, but you know, the temple that we've seen a few times, different places. If you look up Jewish temple, you're going to see it. This particular incense burner in the temple was outside, just outside the Holy of Holies, and it had incense. As we're going to see here in the next few verses, that its purpose was to be a sweet a sweet odor unto the Lord and the prayers of the saints. And so you're going to see that here in a minute when we get to a few more verses ahead. So give you an idea of what we're talking about here. So a few things about censers. Over in Leviticus, it says in 16:12, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord. That was the altar I just showed you. And his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. The veil in this case would be the veil that separates this area, what they call the holy area, to the holy of holies, which is where God resides in the temple back in the Old Testament times. So what would happen here is that the censer, the high priest would take the censer into where God resides, and with the prayers of the saints would be going on outside the temple. In that case, in this case, I think it has to do with the prayers of the tribulation saints, who right now are going through quite a bit of agony, and they're now children of God. They've turned their life over to Christ, and it was after the rapture, so they're going to have to suffer through some of this. That could be also why God, you know, was feeling a little, why it was so quiet in heaven. Is that I think everybody realized that this was necessary, but it was a very sad day, and it was, everyone was kind of mourning what was coming next, the great wrath of God. Right now, just talking about the censer itself, what it is. Also, over in Hebrews, it talks about. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded the tables of the covenant. This is in Hebrews. Paul's talking about what the Holy of Holies would have looked like. It would have had the ark of the covenant in there. In this case, we're in heaven. I think what you're going to see is that you're going to see God on the throne. That incense burner is going to be before him. You're going to see the seven angels with the seven trumpets, and this other angel is going to come up with that censer, and it's going to put some the incense in it, which represents the prayers of the saints on earth. And you're going to see smoke coming up like you saw in that picture. Let me bring the picture over for another second. You can see the smoke coming up. That'll be basically bringing the prayers of the saints up to the Father, which is on the throne. That's the symbology of this particular scene. Okay, over to Revelation 8:4. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So that's what I kind of showed you there in that picture. And some verses I found on this particular, talking about the prayers. Over in Psalms 141, a beautiful passage about prayer. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Also over in Luke, there's lots and lots of verses about prayer, but I just picked out a few that kind of was reminiscent of this particular verse in Revelation. And it came to pass that while he executed the precept, this is a neat, this is the portion of Luke where they're talking about Zacharias was finding out that his wife Elizabeth was pregnant. And he was told it by an angel while he was doing the duty of the incense inside the Holy of Holies. It was his turn as the as a priest to do that where he was at. And so I thought I'd throw this in here as kind of symbolic of what we're going to be seeing in heaven, of what John the Baptist's father saw and heard when he was doing a very similar thing. So we're in Luke 1:8 through 10, through 11. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God and the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. This was Zechariah's job in the temple. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. So outside where he's doing this, it'd be the whole congregation would be praying at the same time. So the idea is that the incense was carrying their prayers up to God. It's all symbolic, you know. Of course, God can hear us directly. You know, we don't need incense burners or anything like that. That's actually something we had gained once Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. It gave us full access to God directly. Verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. I find it kind of interesting that it says on the right side of the altar of incense. The right side is where Jesus resides on the Father's throne. The right side is always the side of honor when it comes to being near the King. So then we also have over in Hebrews, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This is basically saying that we now have. We ourselves can go into the Holy of Holies directly to God because of the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. That's the whole symbology of, you know, on the day that Jesus died on the cross, that the veil was rent in two in the temple. And, that's the basically that the there was no longer a need to have a separation between God and man. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So again, that's symbolic of what's happening. I'm kind of picking, like I said, I picked these particular verses because they have a reverence to what we're seeing here in Revelation. And over in 1 John, we also have 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Again, Jesus Christ is our go-between. It's what bridges the gap between us and God. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Not just for Jews, not just for Gentiles, but for everyone. And so anyone that comes to him and seeks him will have the same honor and glory as we do, and as Jews do, as the Jews will have once they realize who their Messiah is. I just wanted to mention too that we were talking about that we're going to see here coming up on no, in the past during the fifth seal, we saw those saints under the throne as the ones who had already been slain for the word of God. So I want to make mention that that's who these prayers are coming from, those saints on the on earth who are now going through quite a bit of torture for the faith. And that and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And So this is what all these saints it's also probably why there's quietness in the heaven during this period, for a half hour. Don't know for sure. I'm just speculating on a lot of this. So I guess a couple more verses here about the golden altar itself. This is where it first was introduced in Exodus. They put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. There's that separation again. And only the high priest could go from that point into the Holy of Holies after a lot of preparation, a lot of cleansing and bathing. And he had a special outfit he had to wear. And he was only allowed to do it once a year. And believe it or not, they actually tied a rope to his ankle. And his robe had little bells on the bottom, because if for some reason God was upset with him and ended his life, they needed a way to pull him back out of the Holy of Holies, because no one was allowed to go in there except the high priest. So I found that kind of interesting about the little bells on the bottom. They still hear them moving around in there. They know he was still alive. So Revelation 8:5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices, thunderings, and lightnings and earthquakes. Now in this case, when we see the first trumpet, you're going to see what looks like this particular angel is gathering together and is getting ready to throw onto the earth. It's basically where the wrath of God is going to start. So in this case, it may be the prayers from the saints at first. But now it's going to turn into fire of wrath on those on the earth. And he's going to bring up a few over in Isaiah 66 that kind of talks about this as a front runner of this particular time frame. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like a herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, as the indignation towards his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebukes with flames of fire. So you see what this angel is getting ready to do is going to be basically fire flying down from heaven. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Not going to be a pleasant time. But this seems like it's the start of what Jesus talks about in Matthew 24 as the, oh, what's the term I'm looking for? The Great Tribulation. And that if it wasn't cut short, then almost nobody would survive. Couple more verses on God's wrath. There's many, many, many of them. I just picked a few that seemed appropriate for this study. In 2 Samuel 22:7, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of heaven moved in shock, because he was wrath. Was pretty upset. You know, ain't it a beautiful thing when God gets upset? So it's thank God that he has a lot of patience, but it will run out someday. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. A little bit about God's wrath. Also over in Psalms 18, starting at verse 13, or just 13. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. I'm bringing this up because of the thunder that was mentioned in that verse. So this is Revelation 8:6. This is where we're going to stop for today. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So we're going to start opening. We're going to start looking at these seven trumpets, and the wrath of God is just getting more and more intense as we go along here. And so if As I say almost every time, if it's before the rapture, It should make you really rethink what your thoughts are about the end of days. If it's after the rapture, then best to set your eyes on the Lord. I can't tell you exactly everything that's going to happen, but these parts of Revelation will give you an idea of what to expect. And I would study them really hard and do your best to survive. When you do have opportunity to get supplies and to get things to help survive through it, do your best. I'd probably suggest, if it was me, that find ways of gathering food. Shortly, you're not going to be able to allowed to buy and sell without taking this mark. Do not take the mark. Whatever you do, it'll be the end. And that you also be careful about who you associate with. So I would try to find a way to basically disappear if you can. So on that note, that's all we had for today. And I will end with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this insight into what's coming ahead. And Lord, may those that see this broadcast really take to heart that you have a plan for them, and that you have their best interests at heart, and you don't want anyone to have to perish, and that all come to a loving to loving you and to following you, and that anyone in the sound of my voice would consider these options as the days get more and more interesting. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So I will talk to you all again tomorrow, and we'll start the trumpet judgments.